Hello, everyone. So, I must talk about this. What I'm going to talk to you about is private life integrity and public life integrity. I made a decision recently to have excellent private life integrity and excellent public life integrity, because public and private integrity must be the same, or one will destroy the other. I decided to be consistent in my public life and my private life. I do not think they are separate, because I acknowledge the truth that they affect each other. My convictions are present in my life at all times. My private values and my public values do not contradict each other. They are one in the same. I am easy to trust because of my stability. I stand against terroristic crowds because of my inner beauty intentions. I am in stable shape of my own. I do not shape myself to what tries to contain me, and I do not shape myself to any environment that I'm in. I don't go along with wrong. In order to make it look like I'm counteracting the evil in private, no. I go along with right. That's the only way to counteract the evil in private. And because I counteract evil in private, that's how I counteract evil in public. I do not make immoral compromises because I do not want my noble character convictions to be destroyed. Because more importantly, I do not want my noble character to be destroyed. I have overabundance of wholesome direction. Therefore, my life is preserved, not obliterated. I have compassionate, unconditional love as the center of my principles. When I think about why I'm saying what I'm saying, because I have been studious of the private moral failures of many public figures. And I said to myself, I will never again allow peer pressure to get the best of me. I will never again allow the fear of social rejection, public ridicule, career derailment, and loss of materialism to get the best of me. That was in my past because of trauma, but I no longer have these fears, and I embrace those things happening to me in terms of the social rejection, the public ridicule, the career derailment, and the loss of materialism. I decided to never again allow the fear of persecution, hard work, deprivation, mourning, grief, and even being blacklisted, blackballed, to get the best of me. So I decided to embrace being blacklisted for what's for right, being blackballed for right, being persecuted for right, being deprived for right, hard working for right, and mourning for right and grief for right too. Another thing I have learned is about living a life of substance is that I do embrace the reality of not always having earthly security. And not always having earthly rewards. I said to myself, I don't have those fears anymore. Trauma teaches one to have unwise fears. So for me, I can definitely say this, that what I definitely tell you, I do my best to live up to myself. And I really decided that in order for me to be trustworthy to you all, I'll let you know that what my struggles are. I don't do spiritual bleeding. I don't do trauma dumping. That's not the kind of person I am, and that's something I've already known. But I don't go around blabbermouthing everything that everybody tells me. I'm excellent at healthy privacy of the confidentiality. And at the same time, I don't have fear-based reasons for maintaining healthy secrets. Because what I'm called to do means that I'm sworn to privacy and confidentiality as long as both are wholesome and healthy. Meaning when I work one-on-one with people to help them solve problems, resolve issues and conflicts, I can't go around broadcasting every type of story or information that I'm told. So no, I'm not a blabbermouth. I don't do lip service. I'm not a whiner. I'm not constant complaining. I don't do any of that. But what I am saying is that for me to truly live a life that y'all can look at me and go, you know what? Antonio's trying his best to to actually live up to what he's telling us, and if he's struggling with it, he'll let us know, right? So that's the kind of person that I really, really am. And when I look at what's happening, in our lives. I do acknowledge that the noble character life is not a paved road to wealth and ease. In fact, the noble character life does, for me, at times, I experience deep suffering and deep discomfort. So I decided to embrace these things instead of being appalled by these things. And I must say this to you all, that for me to live the life that that I'm telling you to live, well, not being a moralist in a typical sense, that's not what we do in the human rights world, y'all understand that. What I'm saying is this, that the noble character life for me, and I mean that non-religiously, I will not always be popular. I will not always have the leisure time that I would like. I may have to let people go that don't want to live a noble character life. That means I'm willing to let go of friends, colleagues, associates, acquaintances, sexual interests, romantic interests, talk buddies, hangout buddies. In order to preserve the nobility of my character. That means that it's possible that I may not always have a place to call home in terms of one central location where you live primarily. Because in my life, I've had to come to the conclusion that when you are a person that refuses to be tight-lipped nor inactive about the justice issues of our globe, That may mean that for me, I do embrace that certain parts of the world will put me on their no-fly list. And I've had to accept that possibility. Because there are certain parts of the world that have a reputation for hate speech and hate groups. And what we call hate crimes in America, it's legally sanctioned in those parts of the world. So I may not be able to be in certain scenery. And I've learned to embrace that instead of being upset about that. So another thing I want to talk to you about is this. I decided that I've learned to really be mindful of my private life too. I know it doesn't come off as a private life because I'm so honest. But of course, in my private life, there are things that happen that I can't fully share. And I never will. Privacy, confidentiality, because certain people I deal with behind the scenes, there's no criminality, there's no immorality going on. But at the same time, certain things that, you know, I'm not at liberty to share, I just don't. Because I'm sworn to healthy privacy, healthy confidentiality in terms of even my private life, you know? I talk to you about my past because that's what happened back then. But moving forward, there's certain things I can't share with you all about me and the rest of the community. Let's just put it that way. I wanted to talk to you about the fact that I can make this promise. I can. Because I'm not in the past. I'm living in the present and the future. I can promise you all this, that I will never be in a sexual situation that has blurred lines, conflicts of interest, competing interests, the habit of dual relationships, and overlapping. No unethicalness at all. I can also promise you this, I will never be in any romantic situations that have blurred lines, conflicts of interest, competing interests, overlapping, the habit of dual relationships, and there will be no unethicalness there as well. So I think that should be communicated. And I make that promise to you all for this reason. For me, I can promise that because of the healing work I've been doing throughout my life. And I can also share this, that I have learned not to live a disastrous private life, because that can traumatize me, my friends, my family, biological family, my chosen family, my colleagues, my talk buddies, my hangout buddies, my close friends, my true friends, my best friends, my associates, my acquaintances, my fans, and you as the listeners. So I've made a decision to make sure that the public integrity that you are privy to is the same as the private integrity that I'm privy to. And I can also promise this. I will never be in a sex situation nor a romantic situation that is filled with crime, violence, abuse, betrayal, double living, double dipping, double dealing, double-mindedness, trauma, victimization, brutality, oppression, marginalization, disenfranchisement, outcasting, hypocrisy, and being a plaster sainthood. So I can promise you that my romantic baby, my sexual baby, will be free of all of these chaoses, catastrophes, and calamities. And I can hold these promises because I've also decided to be wholesome, independent of each and every trauma I've ever endured in the back when. And I can also tell you this, that I would never be in a sexual situation or romantic situation where there's power dynamics involved, where there's rankism involved, where there's abusive power and abusive rank involved. Never, ever. No sexual situation or romantic situation will ever have those issues. And I can say this new reason too, because in all of my relationships and dynamics, personally, professionally, there's equilibrium, equality, equity, justice, equal rights, and evenness and symmetry. I can also make this promise. I would never put us, because I include you in this, I would never put us in precarious predicaments of any kind. In other words, you will never be humiliated nor embarrassed by me. I can promise that. And I'll give you this new reason. I care about protecting people from having to have their trauma trigger stimulated, because that's how I treat myself. And more importantly, I believe in healthy stimulation of myself and other people. So I just needed to say that. So here's another thing I wanted to talk to you about here. And I'm really glad we're on the subject. It needed to be said. That I've also learned not to downplay any immorality nor illegality. I lived a life forcibly where that occurred, and I decided I don't want to minimize any kind of traumatic impact or traumatic impartation of traumatic misconduct privately and publicly that hurts us all as a human, global human community. Because a lot of times that's what a lot of people, they do those things, they shouldn't be doing those things, where we want to have reverence for somebody's image that we're in love with, even if we're told privately they are a menace to society, or privately they are harmful to their families and people that they're private dynamics with. It's like, well, that's not going to really affect their legacy. That, you know, we're all imperfect. We're all human. No. We can't throw around these tired cliches every time our image of this lovable person is shattered. And we can't think, and it's sad that the first definition of being human is being imperfect. That's self-hatred right there. It's okay to acknowledge that we don't cross every I, dot every T, but that doesn't mean to live a scoundrel type of existence either. There's a balance. And a lot of times it's either just public integrity, and that's it. You can be privately unintegrous, and that's okay, because you did all this victories for us. No, it's okay to expect private integrity from public figures, because they're role models. It's also okay to expect private integrity from private figures, which are most people. They're not out there like that. And it's okay to have this expectation. No one's expecting perfection, but no one's expecting being a liar. No one's expecting being a deceiver, a manipulator, either. Because if you're willing to cheat on your spouse, what other areas of your life are you a cheat in? And that's important. It's one thing to acknowledge natural human behavior. It's another thing to co-sign the violation of oaths, vows, and promises that people make, right? I think a lot of times a lot of humans are so self-hating that we condone what we shouldn't and call it just being human. Hey, we hurt each other. We hurt ourselves. That, get over it. That's the thing. I'm like, no, that's not supposed to be normalized. What should be normalized is growing from it and never repeating it. That's a big sign of growth. You're not constantly doing it. It's not habitual for you. So I think it is important that our actions match our convictions. And are we perfect at it? No. But should we make it a routine, a regular routine, an even daily routine, a weekly routine, monthly routine, a yearly routine, to just say, hey, I'm not going to even try my best to be of solid humanhood? No. No, that's morally unacceptable. So I think we live in a world where so many people want to get away with doing immoral wrongs and illegalities, legal wrongs, like you can't do that according to law, because it's that sense of, I'm never going to be flawless, so why even try? I don't feel that way. That doesn't mean don't be as close to perfect as you possibly can. I said close to, I didn't say you ever will be. But be as close as possibly can. That's reasonable. And so I thought about this too. One of the reasons, and this is all off the top of my head so far, the last part won't be, and that's okay. See, I can tell you in advance how the episode's going to go, but let me get back. I made a decision that when it comes to the concept of my private life, I am really sensitized to the fact that we live in a wiretapping social media recording, phone filming, post it on the internet type of world. When you're a private, when you live a private life as a public figure, we're just a public figure overall. You never know who's going to record you, who's going to tape you, who can put you in a CD, who can put you in their cell phone, who can, you know, put tracks of you out there. You never know. And so I'm not fear-based in any of my integrity living. What I'm saying is this. That I've had to really monitor my own conduct. I had to monitor my own attributes. So as I get older, I understand that how I live, I have to be careful of each and every environment I'm in. I have to be careful of each and every environment, each and every habit, each and every kind of person, each and every kind of thing, each and every kind of situation, each and every kind of event. Because when you're in the public eye, you don't know all the eyeballs that are viewing you. You don't know, they could be listening in on you and writing down or typing down everything you're saying. And whoever else you talk to, they could be writing or typing down everything they're saying. In fact, everything we're doing, me or another person, hypothetical example, not real life, but this is a hypothetical, everything we're doing, somebody could be writing down and typing out, and I don't even know that they're listening and watching. Because a public figure, you have to think about, that's the kind of world we live in. I'm not saying it's right. What I'm saying is that when people watch you, there are things that you cannot do and cannot say that people would not really think much about, because if you're not known to the world like that, people are not going to be interested in what you hear, what you got to say, because they don't know you. So they're never going to know what you say or do, because they are unaware of your human existence, right? But when you're in the public eye, do you have a lot of people who are interested in everywhere you go, every kind of dynamic you have, every kind of person in your life, all the kind of conversations you have, all the kind of actions you do, which are your deeds? Yes. Can it be creepy and eerie at times? Of course. Can it also be a scenario where it can inspire me to be more sensitive to everything I say and do, and that everything other people say and do, more than the average person is not a private figure? Absolutely. Absolutely. Because I feel like it's a mixed bag. You know, it's intrusion stalkerish, and that should never happen. At the same time, it can make me go, I have to live above reproach sexually. I have to live above reproach romantically. I have to live above reproach in every area of my life. And that's what I decided to do. And so, when you're a podcaster, right? No one's perfect in their speech. So there may be things I've said that I regret, but I never meant to hurt anybody. And that's why I don't mind, as I grow the podcast, to have listeners say, hey, Antonio, I know you meant well, but some episodes got to go because we found out they're not completely in line with human rights. So if I have to get rid of some episodes, it's cool. I don't mind that. If I have to be told in line with human rights, that means certain stuff that I've said in episodes I've done got to go to stay in line with my calling, my noble character. My noble calling, that's what I'm going to be doing. I don't mind that kind of healthy correction of the constructive criticism, because I want to totally stay in line with why I'm here and why my mission does not just include me, right? Another reason that I wanted to talk to you about is that I've really have learned, and this is so important, I have learned to be the kind of person that people can easily defend. In terms of, man, that's not Antonio. Why would you say that shit about Antonio? No, Antonio don't fuck around and bullshit people. When I say fuck around, meaning being an asshole. You know what I mean? That ain't me. And then I'll say this. I can own up to things in my life that I could have done better. And I've also learned not to be hard on myself. I'll say this moving forward. What I've truly have decided to do is, Antonio, let's answer this question. What will be your favorite part about being a public figure? And it may shock you, but this is truly how I feel. Here's the part where I do some reading. And you can tell about my reading because the way I slow it down a little bit when I talk, you'll know why. My favorite part of being a public figure is my shared social life with the public and people that are dear to me. Meaning, I'm going to truly enjoy the most, which is displaying my soft-heartedness in the shared environments of the public within airports, business parks, commercial areas, mixed-use developments, office buildings, ports, inland ports, power centers, retail parks, riverfronts, shopping centers, shopping malls, shopping streets and districts, business clusters, industrial districts, industrial parks, technology centers, agri-hoods, boarding houses, bungalow courts, city blocks, company towns, conservation communities, executive homes, golf course communities, gated communities, housing estates, intentional communities, luxury apartments, McMansions, mixed-use developments, model dwellings for the poor, multifamily residentials, penthouse apartments, private communities, public housing, residential airports, residential areas, retirement communities, revenue houses, rooming houses, single room occupancy, subdivision, tract housing, campuses, research parks, satellite campuses, science parks, ecologies, civic centers, garden city movements, model villages, planned cities, planned communities, urban green spaces, urban parks, apartments, house, all house types, all houses, skyscrapers, tower blocks, villas, brownfield lands, cemeteries, residential cluster developments, constructions, context theories, eminent domains, greenfield lands, grayfield lands, ground scrapers, land use plannings, non-buildings, parks, parking, playgrounds, redevelopments, regional planning, urban design, urban planning and zoning. Right? That would be the favorite part of my calling, right? Which is truly being in the real estate development, such as planned commercial developments, planned industrial developments, planned residential developments, planned municipal developments, buildings, building types, and miscellaneous real estate developments for people. In terms of what I have to do in my everyday life, it'll be fun being in these places because that's where, you know, because I'll be in the highest demand in those kinds of places in terms of what I have to do professionally. Antonio, what would be the favorite thing? What would be the favorite part of your life behind the scenes? And here's the answer to that question. My favorite part of my life behind the scenes is I get to live in other people's homes more than my own home. I'll tell you what that means. So I get to live with people in the rooms and spaces of their homes. So I get to live in the shared rooms with people in their homes, such as their bonus rooms, their common rooms, their dens, their dining rooms, their family rooms, their garrets, their great rooms, their home cinemas, their kitchens, their dirty kitchens, their kitchenettes, their living rooms, their recreation rooms, their billiard rooms, their study rooms, their sunrooms, their private rooms, their bathrooms, their toilets, their bedrooms, their guest rooms, their closets, their bed sits. They're the outdoors, their cabinets, their nurseries, their spaces, their atriums, their balconies, their breezeways, their conversation pits, their cubby holes, their decks, their elevators, their dumbwaiters, their entryways, their gink cans, their fireplaces, their hearts, their foyers, their halls, their hallways, their inglenooks, their lanais, their lofts, their loggias, their overhangs, their patios, their porches, their screen porches, their sleeping porches, their ramps, their secret passages, their stairs, their staircases, their terraces, T-E-R-R-A-C-E, their verandas, their vestibules, their technical rooms, their utility rooms, their storage rooms, their attics, their basements, their carports, their cloakrooms, their closets, their crawl spaces, their electrical rooms, their equipment rooms, their furnace rooms, their boiler rooms, their garages, their janitorial closets, their lard doors, their laundry rooms, their utility rooms, their storage rooms, their mechanical rooms, their mechanical floors, their pantries, their root cellars, their semi-basements, their storm cellars, their safe rooms, their studios, their wardrobes, their wine cellars, their wiring closets, their workshops, their great house areas, their antechambers, their ballrooms, their kitchen-related butler's pantries, their butteries, their sauceries, their sculleries, their spiceries, their still rooms, their conservatory greenhouses, their orangeries, their courtyards, their drawing rooms, their great chambers, their great halls, their libraries, their lawn galleries, their lumber rooms, their parlors, their saunas, their servants' halls, their servants' quarters, their smoking rooms, their drinking rooms, their solars, their staterooms, their swimming pools, their turrets, their undercrofts, their furnitures, their hidden rooms, their house plans, their house styles, their house types, their multifamily residentials, their secondary suites, their duplexes, their townhouses, their single-family detached homes, their semi-detached homes, their row houses, you know, their studio apartments, their architectural elements like their arches, their balusters, their belt courses, their breast summers, their ceilings, their chimneys, their colonnades, their porticos, their columns, their cornices, their eaves, their domes, their doors, their ells, and their floors, their foundations, their gables, their gates, their portal architectures, their lighting, their ornaments, their plumbing, their quoins, their roofs, their roof lanterns, their sill plates, their architectural styles, their, all kinds of architectural styles, their skylights, their thresholds, their transoms, their vaults, their walls, their windows, their backyards, their driveways, their front yards, their gardens, their homes, their home improvements, their home repairs, their sheds, their tree houses, their shrines, their man caves, their women caves, and their non-binary caves. So I want to make it clear that's going to be the favorite part of my living with people. In terms of biology, that's going to be fun. Plus, you know, living in people's huts, bungalows, cottages, ranches, eye houses, gable fronts, split levels, towers, longhouses, house barns, castles, palaces, mansions, villas, stilt houses, octagon houses, snout houses, slope houses, sahayuans, ryads, courtyard houses, single family attached homes, and movable dwellings, and living in house types by construction method or materials is going to be excellent for me. But more importantly, the homes I'll be staying in the most are in the homes of low-income families, poor families, and middle-class families. So I'll be in, like, their homes more than the upscale ones. So I'll be spending, residentially, I'll be living in public housing, the projects, slums, and just low income type of homes more than the other kind of homes. That's going to be fun for me. So that's going to be my favorite part of being a public figure for sure. I must state this to you all. You know, also living in people's, what, hearts, nooks, lofts, laundry rooms, larders, rumpus rooms, television rooms, sunrooms, swimming pools, workshops. It's going to be fun too. And then I think about this as well, that plus, yes, I'll be in all kinds of car designs, but I'll be in the cars that are considered regular cars much more than the ones that are considered of luxury. And, you know, chauffeuring me, taking me around places, those kind of things. And people make sure that I always had plenty of headwear, neckwear, tops, trousers, suits, uniforms, coats and underwear, nightwear, swimwear, footwear, legwear, accessories, dress codes, and, you know, hey, people even make sure that I have plenty of outerwear, coats, overcoats, suit coats, and they'll be so into me, make sure I have clothes, they even make sure I have dresses, gowns, skirts, underwear, lingerie, because they're like, we got to make sure we have all kind of clothes for Antonio because we want to make sure that he's good to go. So, you know, that's just people being kind. And I really appreciate it. So that's been my favorite part of being public figure overall. And my financial needs, my complex needs as a human being, my basic human needs as a human being will all be met properly. So I get to enjoy living that kind of life for sure. Another thing is this, that when it comes to my social outings with people, I get to be a part of their dining rooms, dining halls, breakfast nooks, dinettes, tea shops, lunch counters, lunchrooms, luncheonettes, cafeterias, cafes, ice cream parlors, drugstores, grills, coffee shops, fast food outlets, soda fountains, steakhouses, buffets, inns, taverns, delis, eateries, pizza shops, pizzerias, bistros, sandwich shops, diners, mess halls, galleys, automats, greasy spoons, restaurants, dinners, feasts, banquets, main meals, suppers, repasts, meals. That also means that I get to be a part of people's breakfast, dinners, lunches, banquets, brunches, snacks, teas, high teas, picnics, luncheons, desserts, midnight suppers, feast, refreshments, eats, grub, chow, spread, square meals. Lastly, I get to be a part of people's restaurants, cafes, eateries, cafeterias, diners, hamburger stands, cafes, hotels, dining rooms, inns, coffee shops, coffee houses, chop houses, tea rooms, luncheonettes, I'm repeating myself for fun, lunch wagons, lunchrooms, fast food places, diners, takeout places, pizzerias, lunch bars, soda fountains, juice bars, sushi bars, raw bars, bars, taverns, steakhouses, hot dog stands, snack bars, automats, rotisseries, cabarets, nightclubs, cafeterias, grills, oyster houses, barbecues, spaghetti houses, canteens, food courts, dining cars, wine bars, private clubs, wine cellars, bistros, ethnic restaurants, and ice cream parlors. I'll enjoy taking pictures and videos that are appropriate with kind-hearted people, fans that mean me well, and just people that mean me well. I will always treat people and fans with respect. I mean, I do look forward to doing YouTube interviews with people, social media interviews with people, going live with people, doing reels with people. That's gonna be fun. Speaking on apps with people, that's gonna be fun too. And you know, taking walks with people, traveling with people, riding around with people. Um, I'm just so thankful that I get to also make it clear that the unattractive in the eyes of society are the attractive in the eyes of moral excellence. So that's going to be another fun part of my being a public figure. And also, in closing, I say these things. Be the kind of public figure that people love to have over, people love to hang out with, go to social events with, and have that social support, that emotional support, that moral support, that interpersonal ties, interpersonal attraction, and socialization with. I carry myself as the person you see as family, the family friend, and that's how I'm going to be. Lodging, that's going to be the fun part of it all, because I don't mind living by other people's household rules. I really don't, because these are good people, so I don't mind their rules at all. But I'll say this though, I know I'm going to be living this life, that kind of life, pretty soon. And that's all I have to say.